basically our curriculum helps poor rural families to have an abundant life. We train local Christian churches and trainers in order to go out into the community and minister to the people.
There seems to be a deficit of conversations around the whys of living away from the convenience of town, spending precious time on trying to grow your own food when you can just buy it in the shops, and if choosing this lifestyle really is making a difference on our characters and that of our families. Welcome to the Cultivate Podcast. We are passionate about and love having conversations on what impact truly experiencing country living, true education, and agriculture can have on our lives. We hope and pray that by us sharing these conversations with people from all different backgrounds and experiences, that you can feel equipped from the practical advice and inspired by the stories to continue or pick up where you left off.
Welcome to the Cultivate Podcast. We've got Khan and Shanna here today, and we are going to be having a bit of a chat about some agricultural ministry. So we've got Khan in here today. And we'll get to that and a bit of his journey and using agriculture and ministry and that combining. But firstly, guys, what's been a little bit of excitement for the last week, or a highlight?
Hey, yes, super excited to be here today. A highlight for me today was picking some salad mix from my garden, the first picking. So that was super cool. And then also some strawberries, they were ready to go. So we're able to pick some strawberries and get a whole handful of them for a small backyard garden. It's pretty exciting.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So some of the exciting things that happened in my week this week, well, it's just been so flat out here, like trying to build this wash house for the greenhouses. We managed to pour the footing in, and the concrete footing's all finished now. So we started to build up the bricks on the side, and we're starting to build the doors and the wash house now. So I'm just so excited to see the progress that's happening on this thing.
Awesome.
That's going to be very useful.
Totally.
Yeah, I think my week's had a bit of, I don't know about my week, but today was great. Took some time off, went for a hike up into the woods. I was up in the top. It was like place with a lot of stones, and you can climb on top of them, and got a good view. So that makes for a good day with some old mates. So, all right, we'll head into it and get into the topic. We've got something interesting today from Khan here, who will be sharing a bit about where he's been in the last 2 years. And Khan, I remember like 2 years ago we were chatting. You got really interested in agriculture, and you were looking for things to watch, to listen, and develop your skills, because you were having a plan to go to Zimbabwe. And I remember we were chatting about it, and we're like, this is going to be an experience. And so 2 years later now, we're having a chat about it, and like, we've got to share what's happened, and I've got to check in with Khan, see what's happened. He's got to tell me. He's got to update me too. So here it is. What did you end up, what happened, Khan, in the last 2 years? Where did you go?
2 years? Man, has it been 2 years already?
Yeah, it has.
Wow. Time's gone fast, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. So, yeah, for the past couple of years now, I've been working at Harare, Zimbabwe. And I'm working at a New Start Children's Home. So at New Start, I've been involved with an organization called Africa Orphanage Care. Africa Orphan Care is a United States-based supporting ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it supports the farm program here at New Start Children's Home. New Start Children's Home, it was started in the 80s by Dr. Salim and his wife, Grace. And there's quite a lot of kids who they minister to, and there's also a boarding school as well. So we have like a nursery as well as an orphanage house where they have like 40 to 60 kids living in the orphan in the house. And boys and girls aging from like Well, there's actually one newborn baby who was just brought into the children's home, which is like a 1 month old baby who is called Tinashe. And he was brought into the nursery, and so he's living in the nursery with the other, maybe 40 odd orphans that are supported by my work here. And so they started this back in the 80s, and they were given a piece of land which is about 3 hectares in the south of Harare. And it was placed, I guess, more of like in an estuary land where there's a lot of water flow that goes through there. So when the rains come, the area is just swamped full of water, but it's really sandy soil and everything like that. So it can be kind of difficult to work the soil. It's very poor soil, but the Lord has been blessing our methods that we're using here. And so the piece of land that we're working is mainly sandy soil. It also has quite a lot of rocks on it as well. So we have a school here. So it's both like a boarding school and orphanage at the same time. So we have boys' dorm, girls' dorm, and things like that. And in fact, the land that we're on was right next to a Seventh Day Adventist school called Simbiradinga. So it was originally right next to the orphanage, was right next to a school, and but yet they made another school here. So it's quite funny.
So they sort of combined. There's like this orphanage in a boarding school combined.
Yeah, they're just one entity now, but before there was a school next door, and still there is a school right next door, but there's another school here at the children's home as well, which is a boarding school. Does that make sense?
And so you're mentioning these were New Start Children's Home, and you're mentioning farm stew. So you're mentioning two different things here. Can you tell us a bit more about
Right.
what is New Start Children's Home? I mean, you've explained it a little bit, but where's that coming from? The name and all of that, what's that leading into?
So you're asking me like what New Start Children's Home is all about, kind of thing? Okay, so yeah, New Start, of course, we all know that New Start is about health, right? Babies are health. Yeah. So the man who started it, Dr. Farag, he was a public, pretty much doing public health. He was educating people about AIDS, talking about, God's 8 laws of health. And so he envisioned New South Children's Home as a place where people could basically be raised up by these 8 laws of health. And in fact, some of the young people here actually do have AIDS. Like there's a couple of people who of the children here who actually still have AIDS right now. And so it was made to help with the situation in Zimbabwe. Not many people know about the history of Zimbabwe, but Zimbabwe was a colony, an English colony back in the day. It was called Rhodesia. And in the past 20 odd years, there's a political party called ZANU-PF who's unfortunately kind of ruined the country a bit. And there was, Robert Mugabe, and there's the land reforms which happened the past 20 odd years. And during that time, New Start Children's Home, it has been operating. And I don't know, I reckon that God has just had his ha hand upon this place and ensured that they had everything they need. Like I've seen it time and time again. New Start Children's Home was created just to help minister to these orphan kids who have AIDS and whose families were affected by that.
Yeah, that's a lot of history and a lot of would you describe it as instability in the process of this forming of this school?
Definitely.
So that was the New Start Children's Home. What about the farm stew? What is that? And what does that have to do with the school exactly? Like what's that about?
Okay, yeah. So Farm Stew basically was given the go-ahead to have a national headquarters at New Start Children's Home. What happened was Farm Stew was originally in Gweru, which is another city north of Harare, and it was shut down due to some financial stuff and ended up, you know, so being invited to come down here to Harare and start the headquarters here.
Yeah, so you joined forces on the same place, basically.
Exactly.
Right. So and so what does Farm Stew and I understand it has a curriculum. So what is that about?
So our curriculum, of course, will basically our curriculum helps poor rural families to have an abundant life. We train local Christian churches and trainers in order to go out into the community and minister to the people. So that's what the curriculum is a part of. And so the curriculum is like, yeah, it's very practical and it's got lots of different methods in order for like small farmers and people in rural areas in order to make a living and not drudgery.
Yeah. I like to think. Yeah. And the acronym of Farm Stew is supposed to stand for those points and that in that training, those goals and objectives.
Yeah, definitely. Just like New Start, we think of New Start as being like the health, 8 laws of health. Farm Stew is also an acronym as well. So when you talk about Farm Stew, it's like a recipe for abundant life because it's made up of different things.
So Khan, what's this recipe for abundant life?
Yeah, mate. So farming, attitude, rest, meals, sanitation, temperance, enterprise and water. That's the basically the 8 principles of abundant life. And you can't bring them together, they make up a recipe of abundant life.
Yeah, and obviously these are addressing very critical things in that environment and in Zimbabwe, essentially, because that's what I would say lacking, you could say, is meals, sanitation, enterprise, water.
Totally.
It's basically, you've made a list of them. And so basically as a farming, I can see how farming is supposed to be sort of a self-sustaining activity that builds, and I guess that forms a bit of an enterprise, I'm guessing. So what's with attitude that stands out?
So attitude, we teach people how to have that basically the attitude is a choice. We all choose what we do in life, we all choose how we think, and we help people to think positively instead of the negative aspects of life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we teach people like ways to overcome depression. And yeah, we have some powerful messages about helping people to basically trust in God. You know, it's all about trusting God to overcome negative mindsets and witchcraft and things like that. That all comes into our principle of attitude.
Okay. Yeah. Because again, so there's quite a number of things in the Zimbabwe context, like you're saying, witchcraft, and mm-hmm. there would be certain elements of hopelessness or feeling that you wouldn't, yeah. nothing's going to change ever, or that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You might elaborate on that.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, like, say if you have a sickness or something like that, people usually will go to a witch doctor or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they would pray for them or something, or yeah. you'd give them your cow or your goat or something like that. And okay. then they would pray for you or curse the other person that cursed you, or take off the curse that's on you or something like that. And then you'd be, you know, healed. But yeah. basically you're relying upon another power, another human being in order to do that. But we know that in Jesus, he takes away our curses and takes away all those generational things, you know, that yeah. curses us and gives us new life. So basically that attitude, yeah.
All right. So there's a lot of things in attitude. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll come back to Farm Stew a little bit more and a little bit about those sort of things. So, but let's go back. Let's take us back to how you got involved in this. How did you end up here?
So, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's been a big journey for me because, of course, I went to a college in 2015. I was studying pastoral evangelism at Heartland College, but before I got there, I was actually a carpenter. I left my job as a carpenter and went to Heartland and studied there.
Yeah, okay.
But the cool thing...
Go on. Yours.
Yeah, the cool thing about Heartland is that they have a farm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we actually... Look, it's like a farm program, and at the same time, it's a market garden, you know? So we also make a profit from there, as well as, you know, have good fresh vegetables for the kitchen, which is really great. So yeah, basically I grew in love with agriculture there, found a niche for it myself, and wanted to pursue it as kind of like a way to support myself.
Okay. And it's interesting though, because you obviously went to Heartland and you also went there for an interest in ministry. So you're falling in love with that. Yeah. And then you found agriculture as well. And then behold, mm-hmm. they combined. And so this formed a little bit of your future basically.
I like revolutionized the way I think about ministry, really. Because ministry is basically supplying, blessing other people, you know. That's the whole idea of ministry. And agriculture is a great way in order to bless other people. We'd have people come in and I'd give them food, or I'd go do Bible studies with somebody and I'd give them food, you know. But like, all in all, if they see your love for them, then they will respond to that.
Yeah, serving people on a very foundational level of need. Special opportunity to connect.
Yeah.
So then when so what happened after Heartland?
Yeah, basically it was during my end of my term at Heartland that I went to a conference called Ad Agra. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, absolutely. And we may as well put in an ad, a plug in here for Ad Agra, which is the Adventist Agricultural Association, which is in America. And they've been a conference running and bringing people together, discussing agriculture, country living, and the ministry that agriculture allows us to tap into.
Exactly.
Mm.
So, yeah. I went there in 2018 with my farm manager, and at the conference, I met Joy Kaufman, who is the international executive director of Farm Stew. She started the ministry, and yeah, I got to know her testimony and meet her personally. And also I met with Ron Bentfield, who is the chair of the board of Africa Orphan Care, right? And I got this call back from Rick Westermeyer a couple of weeks after the conference. And Rick is, how do you say, he is like the manager of the project in Zimbabwe, right? And he's also the Zimbabwe Farm Stew director. So it was during my final year of Heartland that I was asked to go to Zimbabwe, basically. And I was praying about it the whole year. Yeah, so that was June 2019.
All right. And then you went to Zimbabwe, and what happened?
So I went to Zimbabwe in 2020 after I graduated from Heartland 2019. And basically, COVID happened, you know?
True.
The place got into lockdown soon after I got there. So there were some pretty hefty lockdowns that were going on there. So all our trainings that we had lined up and our plans for the year were pretty much shut down, you know.
Yeah.
I had no prospect of doing any trainings in the community or in the churches. And also, I did get the opportunity to fly back to New Zealand, and I could have gone back home and just been with my family and stuff like that. Yeah, but I chose to stay here instead. So I stayed at New Start Children's Home for practically the whole year, and was working at the greenhouse and teaching kids about the Farmster Recipe of Abundant Life.
What were you teaching the kids?
Yeah, so pretty much, so I was teaching the kids about the Farmster Recipe of Abundant Life, and I was also teaching them stuff that I was familiar with, like mainly farming. So I took them out to the field and showed them how to prepare the land and how to plant seeds, stuff like that. And just teaching them life skills.
Getting them very involved in the garden and working with them, basically.
Yeah. Working with them one-on-one. Answering their questions.
Yeah. I can definitely relate to that. Whenever we got if you've got a farming spot and then you have a community around it, the farm, you come and do some farming and it becomes like the counseling. Like the counseling department, because you come out there, you're doing some job, and then you're like, you're having a chat and you're talking about things and you're thinking about things. So is that what you're saying?
Yeah, counseling department, that's for sure. Yeah, the kids wanted to know a lot.
Yeah.
But I guess when you're dealing with young kids, it's also important to give them that spark or that desire to go and work, because many of them, if you're working with adults, it's differently because they have a lot more experience. But with kids, it's like they don't. So you got to give that spark to them and be like, okay, now this is what we're going to do, and start talking about things ahead of time, and then it makes them think, and then they start getting excited about future things and things like that.
Yeah, take the lead.
Yeah.
Take them somewhere, and then they catch on. We'll talk a bit more about the kids, what sort of roles, what did you end up doing after all this time and all this change, and, what roles did all that lead into? Like, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, basically, like on my day-to-day life, I'm managing a farm project here. So I manage two greenhouses, and I'm also doing herbs as well, because we make our fertilizer from comfrey, and we also produce herbs for the kitchen as well. So yeah, also I do training, farm stew training at the children's home as a trainer of farm stew. So I teach about gardening, conservational agriculture, and if we get groups of people coming in, not that we did have a group of people come in. We did some training with them last year, and we're hoping to do so again this year and at the end of the year, at the start of next year as well. But yeah, basically I'm organizing those training events and directing as a regional director of farms to Zimbabwe here in Harare.
And what sort of, I think you were mentioning that there were some principles behind this training that you were running and how you see it to fit in.
Right.
Did you want to mention anything on that?
Yeah, sure. Like Farmster, I really love this Farmster ministry. It's a really practical way for people to get involved in ministering to other people. Like one example I have, like this year I went to a place called Buhira, and there was a halfway house, which is a place where the orphan kids, once they grow to a certain age, they'll grow the orphanage, they'll go and live there for a while. So they invited us to go and do some trainings there, and I went with one of my workers to Buhira for about a week. So we did some training there, and we was able to teach them a lot about agriculture, and it was really encouraging because we taught about enterprise, and they wanted to actually start up a business at this halfway house. They had some vegetable gardens, and we ended up planting like lots of cabbages, and I got some reports back about a week ago, and they had harvested a lot of cabbages and were selling them to their local markets. And it was because of our trainings that we did there that they were encouraged in order to make this business and make this enterprise actually happen. And they were very successful in the enterprise. And now they're asking us to come back. And so, yeah, that's basically what Farm Street does, is we go and equip people how to have their own self-sustaining business or something like that. And we're hoping really to expand and to teach church members how they can, you know, support themselves and supply their own vegetables and then go out and train people.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, just what you're saying, Khan, just really reminds me of this quote that Ian shared with us the other day. And it says that there are multitudes of poor families for whom no better missionary work could be done than to assist them in settling on the land and in learning how to make it yield them a livelihood. And I was like, so what you're saying, right? You're just doing that with the people and teaching them how to be self-supporting and, yeah, educating. And, yeah, it's so cool. So cool to see in practice.
Yeah, that's right. It's so cool to be able to help people grow their own vegetables. Actually have that in the Farm Street curriculum, funnily enough.
You do?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And, you know, Shanna, there's this quote in Isaiah chapter 58, which kind of goes along with that. God promises the church that if they deal their bread to the hungry and bring their poor that are cast out into their house, when you see the naked and you cover them and you hide not yourself from your own flesh, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And I quite like verse number 11, which says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy drought, thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not.
I love those promises.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. This is what all about farms do. Like, we're all about equipping people that they can actually do this stuff for people in their communities.
Yeah, so that's the core of it right there. That's why it works.
Yeah, that's right. It's not ours. It's God's, you know. So, like, if this is God's word and if it's true, which I believe it is, then it's not Khan's work. It's not farms do, but God is the one who's blessing us and is pushing it forward.
Yeah. And speaking about that and coming back to the orphans a little bit, you've been working with these, with the orphans in the garden, and how have you seen change in their life and, like, you know, working with them?
Right. Yeah. So I know one boy whose life has been changed through the ministry that I've been doing here. His name is Jonathan. Jonathan was kind of a bit of a troublesome boy when I first got there, and he'd been known for, like, stealing stuff and just being misbehaving. And he speaks kind of roughly, you know, like always yelling and stuff. So I've been working with Jonathan, and I formed a friendship with him. I remember the first time I met him, he, like, scraped his knee and stuff. So, you know me, I've been doing ministry and helping kids when they hurt themselves.
And mate, you've been during this interview, you've stopped like three times. I have many to patch someone, give them a bandage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm like the regional doctor around here, as well as the regional director of Farmstead. It's crazy. But anyway, I'm like, I try to help the boy out and give him some work and stuff like that, you know, to give him some extra money. And he comes to the greenhouse and manages the greenhouses here, and he opens and closes the greenhouses when it gets hot and cold, when it gets too cold. So just been forming a friendship with him, and I've been able to see his life change so much. And I remember, like, reading a statement in the Spirit of Prophecy about, like, making friends of orphans and stuff. And I can see that by making friends with this young boy, it's really made a difference in his life, you know?
There needs to be that somebody and in that environment, in a place, something to do to bring you together and connect to be that support.
But than intention. Yeah, they need it. Using relationship as well is so important, because you could just go to the garden and do your own thing and not talk to anyone. But yeah, exactly. Actually building relationship really does impact people's lives.
Yeah, yeah. And getting them involved and giving them a part, giving them a part to play, building those relationships.
Yeah, a role, a responsibility. Basically, it's all a significance, importance, something that's of value, and suddenly they're keen to, they change in with that in their mind when they're seeing that new responsibility and the new way of life. So, Khan, you've been working with the garden, in the garden with the children, and you've had this opportunity to connect with them.
That's right. Yeah, so as I would work, they would come alongside me, you know, and they would do some tasks that I would give them to do beside me. So like I was mentoring them and showing them how to do things as I would work. So maybe I'd get like 3 or 4 kids who would come and work with me, and that would help me to connect with them on a personal level. And after the time that we spent together during the day, we would play games together. Maybe I would, you know, play a game of soccer or something like that with the boys, just as like a reward. So that really helped me to connect with the boys in the garden, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. And but the farm also has another role that it's playing in this context, and one that's actually providing for the kids. Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. So like every day we're always harvesting vegetables, you know. The kitchen uses the vegetables to feed the kids. So they have mothers who cook up our vegetables that we grow on a daily basis. Yeah, so I usually grow a variety of vegetables like tomatoes and cucumbers in the greenhouses, as well as lettuces. And like I mentioned about herbs as well. So the tomatoes are in big demand here, because especially during the cold season, there's no tomatoes here and they're very expensive. Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's kind of like my role here is just to ensure that they have a good supply of tomatoes, and also give them cucumbers, which they usually eat once or twice a week in their salads. So apart from that, like there's another farm manager here whose name is Tondurai, and he is the one who manages our field crops, which we grow. And so he's growing like lots of kovo and other type of brassicas that they have here in Zimbabwe. And they cook it up for the kids to eat. They eat pretty much every day vegetables and what they call sadza, or what we would call maize, ground up maize, or porridge, So we grow our own maize here. We grow beets as well. But yeah, in the field crops, we do grow beans and maize for the kids to eat at the kitchen.
Fantastic. So it can really contribute to the bottom line, to the orphanage, essentially, to help it feed a lot of hungry mouths.
Definitely, yeah. We've saved a lot of money because of this program.
So how can people listening to this get involved or contribute or whatnot to this projects, I should say, New Start and Farm Stew?
You can get involved in Farm Stew by becoming a certified trainer, or you can support our work with a love donation by visiting our website. You can go to farmstew.org for more information. We also have an online training platform, Teachable. So we have all our lessons available online. If you're interested in becoming a Farm Stew certified trainer, you can just go through the course, take it, and then at the end of it, you get a certificate. You'd be a certified trainer, and that's what I did. And yeah, I really recommend it. Even it's still got a lot of great valuable information there about people. If you want to learn about farming or ways to minister to people, even in your local context in Australia or New Zealand, there's still got a lot of practical stuff in there. Or if you'd like to give me some feedback about anything we've mentioned today, or if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at khan@farmstew.org.
All right. So that training program, that was what you said you did that in the beginning. Do you feel like that really puts you on the line to help you do this roles?
Definitely, yeah. And of course, I've still got much things to learn because when I come to Zimbabwe, the climate's a lot different than my country. And so I had to learn about how to farm in Zimbabwe. But thankfully, I took a course from Foundations for Farming. And I went for a week and did a crash course in agriculture, among the other topics that they teach, of conservational agriculture. So it did prepare me in a way, but of course, there's still many things to learn in the mission field.
Yeah, there's always more. So we've had a look at this journey, Khan, that you've gone through, and it's really exemplified an example where ministry, education, country living, agriculture, all of these things are coming together and working together all at the same time. I think that's what this time with you spending and talking about this has really shown.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing those testimonies and examples and stories. It's so exciting to see how it's actually practically happening at the moment.
Yeah, so this is obviously a Zimbabwe example, but I think it's very relevant to us, and it applies to us in our context, as you said, in Australia, in New Zealand, or anywhere, is that we can start to see how these things can come together and all together in a functional model.
Yep. So if you want to contact Khan and get involved in this awesome project that's happening, Khan, what's your email address again? Just spell it out to us. Let everyone know where they can catch you.
Sure, yeah. My email address is khan@farmstew.org. khan@farmstew.org.
All right. Thank you for your time, Khan and Shanna. And thank you to all of our listeners to joining us in this little journey. And we look forward to talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Cultivate podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you find us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our mailing list by the links below so you don't miss out. And if you have a moment, we'd love it if you could leave a review or tell a friend. See you next time.